Good morning. Welcome to Community United Methodist Church this morning. It's Palm Sunday. That's the beginning of this week that we're entering into. Also, this is also called Passion Sunday. So we'll be going from the palms to the passion today. So we're going to be celebrating together as we, as always, each Sunday is a mini Easter. So don't forget that we're always celebrating Jesus Christ, who is in our life each and every day. But this is, again, Palm Sunday and the Passion Sunday, and we're going to be here to worship together. There are just a few announcements I wanted to bring up. Our Jackson Area Ministry, the seeds collection, that ends today. So if you had them in the car and you forgot to bring them in, make sure you bring them back in. Maundy Thursday service this Thursday at 7 p.m. Come on out for that time together. And then Easter Sunday, next Sunday, there is no Sunday school, but we're going to start at 9:30 with our fellowship time, hospitality time down in the fellowship hall, because at 10 o'clock we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for the littles. And so we'll do that all together, and then we'll have our worship celebration at 10:30 as usual. With that, there's plenty of other announcements in here for you to read, but let us begin with our prelude this morning.
Good morning. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel and the celebration of our first hymn? The gospel reading this morning comes from Luke 19:37-40. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "that if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." Let us cry out with our first hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." Number 280, we'll be singing verses 1, 3, 4. 4 and 5. Would you please join with me in the call to worship? Give thanks to God, who is truly good. Hosanna in the highest. Praise Christ, whose love abounds with grace. Hosanna in the highest. Welcome the Spirit with songs of praise. Hosanna in the highest. Our opening hymn this morning is Hosanna, Lord, loud Hosanna, which is number 278. You may be seated. And if you would join with me in the opening prayer that's printed in our bulletin, let us pray. Christ of both creation and sorrow, be with us in our time of worship today and in the week ahead. Help us embrace the fullness of your story, both the triumph and the tragedy. Strengthen us to proclaim blessing and hope, no matter the circumstances, that we may be children of your promise, both now and forevermore. Amen. And if there's any children or God's children would like to come up, because we have kind of a slim pickings this morning, so come on down if you're interested in a children's moment. Thanks, guys. Some people that are willing to come, bless your hearts. You are wonderful. Now, we're celebrating, we're even going to sit down. Boy, that's good. I'm going to stand up. How about that? We're celebrating Palm Sunday, and we just sang Hosanna. Now, what does Hosanna mean? Praise, yes. But it also means save us, and the people that were laying down palms wanted to be saved by Jesus. They knew that he was a savior, and that's why they were excited. I mean, they were excited. They were laying down their robes and laying down palms because, and it also means hurrah, praises, yay, but it also means save us, which I did not know. So I'm sharing that with you. Now, Jesus was supposed to be sort of a king. Now, you would think that he would be riding in on a white horse with, you know, A donkey? He was riding in on a donkey. But wait a minute. I think I remember a story in the Bible from the Old Testament about somebody that was going to be riding in on a donkey. So he was kind of fulfilling the prophecy of the past. And Jesus was not waving his hands and going like this, hello, you know, I'm the king. He was kind of low-key, wasn't he? He was here to serve and to love, and that's what we should remember. And it was the start of a really busy week for Jesus, a tough week, which is what we call Holy Week. And we ask you to come on Thursday to celebrate with us. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for King Jesus. Thank you that we have children of God of all ages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, wait a second. I've got stuff. Oh, Pastor is going to help me out. I forgot my basket. And you all, no, wait just a minute. Hold on, hold on. You can take something. I mean, those of you children of God out there that didn't want any treats next time. Okay, we are going to sing our prayer hymn. And it's, Lord, I lift your name on high. I believe there's an insert in your bulletin. This is a great song. Oh, Terry said we're going to sing it twice. Terry, why don't you come up here so that we actually know that we're going to what to do and how to sing. I'm going to make her work.
Like you knew it.
Let us go before our Lord in prayer as we lift our hearts with honor and praise. Amazing God, you came. You came for us. You came to save us. To save us from ourselves. Lord, we didn't even know we needed saving until you came and showed us. You revealed to us through the light that you are of how far we have fallen from your glory. But Lord, in you, you promised to give us reconciliation and to follow in your steps of glory once again. So, Lord, we just ask in this Palm Sunday that you would raise our spirits, that we'd be able to lift our voices and our lives to you, to honor you and praise you because of who you are and how you did indeed save us. We have reasons to celebrate. We are your children. You call us to be like your Son. So, Lord, just give us what we need. May your Spirit within us be at work, helping us to overcome our fears that keep us from engaging with our neighbors, with you, and even with each other. So, Lord, I just ask for this Spirit to be alive, to encourage us in a way that we haven't expected, to truly spark something in us that would truly light our community with your love. Give us what we need, O God. We know that through your Spirit all things can happen when we put our trust and faith in you. May we do just that. Let us share now the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I think I have a picture that... John, do you have that picture of our Mongolian family that you can put on the screen? This is our friends in Mongolia. Pastor Dexter Caballos on the left there. It's his wife, Lorraine, and their daughter, Laura. We found out this week that Lorraine, after spending time with raising their child, now that she is a little bit older, she's actually going to be leading the Billy and Luke Snell development program, as Dexter is, over the whole ministry in Mongolia. She's going to focus on the ministry that we're directly supporting. So we wanted to introduce her today. Lorraine is going to be the one that we're going to be interacting with the most. And just a reminder about what the special offering goes to our Mongolia initiative to help them. So a lot of exciting stuff as we're partnering with them, and they're very excited about our partnership. As always, we always receive a portion of what we get from our Lord each and every day. So as we receive our offering this morning, just know that you're giving back what you've been given. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Christ Jesus, for your goodness and your grace, blessing the gifts and lives we offer to you, that they may bring goodness and grace to your world. In gratitude and joy, amen. Please remain standing for a second gospel reading.
Our second gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, 27:11-26. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Oh,
journey through our series, Removing Barriers to Engagement, is drawing to a close as we gather on this sixth and final Sunday of Lent. Tomorrow is the beginning of Holy Week, which acts as an invitation for us to walk with Jesus on his final days on earth, on his way to the cross and to the tomb before his resurrection. So often we like to jump from the shouts of Hosanna of Palm Sunday to the declaration on Easter Sunday of Christ is risen without hearing the cries, Crucify him! Crucify him! The cross is uncomfortable, to say the least, but it is an integral reality of our faith. Christ's resurrection means nothing without the relevance of Jesus dying on the cross for us. His blood shed as a new covenant of love, forgiveness of sin, and life eternally reconciled with God, which the old covenant of law was unable to accomplish. Under human leadership, the law had become an oppressive system of shame, power, control, and injustice. The cross is too important to our faith to deny it, because we too suffer with Jesus as we walk with him in our world today in the hope of rising with him in the age to come. So to guide us this morning, we are looking at this passage in Matthew, which tells the story leading up to the cross, to discover how do we address our fear of oppressive systems. The reality is there are many oppressive systems that surround us in our everyday existence. Some are more obvious than others. This is not a new phenomenon. It is a product of sin, which, as we all know, has followed humanity throughout history outside the borders of Eden. Now, Jesus, God in the flesh, the light of life, exposed the oppressive systems of the first century as he revealed the good news of the kingdom of God. See if you can recognize any oppressive systems represented in the beginning of our story, which states, Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Jesus had stepped two systems deep into oppression, at least. And that's if we combine the Jewish leadership into one oppressive system. But there were actual levels of systems within the Jewish leadership. Chief priests, elders, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, zealots, and others. Each group sought out to control the narrative of what life under the law and the prophets was to be. Jesus had them all questioning each other through his teachings and his life's ministry. Together, they wanted Jesus removed from their narratives. Yet the only thing they could agree on was that he was not the Messiah they were looking for. He did not fit the picture they had painted of their king who would save them from the oppressive system of the Roman Empire. Now, the entirety of Israel and much of the known world agreed that the Roman Empire that controlled their lives was oppressive. Roman law superseded all other law. However, as long as the Jewish practices didn't disrupt the peace, they were permitted to live and worship without issue. In Jesus' case, the Jewish leaders wouldn't accept Jesus as their Messiah, even if many others had, which caused crowds, disturbances, and even conflicts, which caught the attention of Romans. The Jewish leadership wanted to control Jesus before Rome dealt with him as a whole. They found Jesus guilty of blasphemy, for claiming to be God, for which the sentence was death according to the Jewish law. This wasn't an offense of the Romans that they were concerned with, but an opposing king to Caesar, that would be. So the Jewish leaders sought out to use the system that oppressed them to oppress Jesus to maintain their power and their standing with Rome, with accusing Jesus of claiming to be king of the Jews. Oppressive systems. They do all they can to control what they can. They are designed to serve themselves at everyone else's expense. They manipulate the narrative to serve their purposes. They devise their plans in secret, only revealing partial truths that control the desired outcomes. We can see all these things play out in these two verses. It's not hard to see when we take the time to recognize what was going on. The same is true for us. The oppressive systems that function in our lives are on full display. To address our fear of oppressive systems, we must first identify them. We must stop operating from the perspective of ignorance is bliss. We might think, if we just mind our own business and manage our lives within the systems, we will be okay. That may be true until we are not okay. Remember, there are many oppressive systems, big and small, whole governments, political parties, corporate enterprises, company leaders, racial inequality, religious organizations, immigration laws, social clubs, friend groups, family systems, and even churches, church leaders, church committees, church policy, and more. When we start identifying oppressive systems, we end up seeing how so many are not okay, even if we think we may be. All these systems are barriers for someone to be fully engaged. We need to consider how we might be part of a system that impact those around us. One example that came this past week at our board meeting was how our building use policy and fee structure might deter our community from engaging with us. What else might we see if we take the time to look? Now, Jesus stood before the Roman governor, Pilate, and the crowds led by the chief priests and the elders of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Jesus heard all the accusations, that is, the narratives that were shared about him. Matthew then described, Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Pilate was amazed by Jesus' silence, likely because Jesus was not defensive, rather confident in his shoes that led him to this point in his life. Jesus had nothing to defend, unlike the oppressive systems that were trying to protect their interests. Jesus' life constantly challenged the ways of the Jewish leaders and their interpretation and execution of the law. Repeatedly, the leaders were unable to defend their ways when Jesus explained his. Jesus never wavered to follow his Father's lead. To face our fear of oppressive systems, we stand firm in God's will and ways. You see, our commitment is to Jesus and his purposes, not to the world's oppressive systems that work for their purposes. Any transformation that we experience should be toward the likeness of Christ, not changes we make to fit in this world for our preservation or gain. Paul, writing to the Philippians, encouraged us to stand confidently in Christ in all our ways, saying, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Jesus' focus is on all people, and all of creation for that matter. His life demonstrated a continual concern for bringing people into community by tearing down barriers that kept them from engaging. We should follow Jesus in his ways. I also found it interesting that Pilate knew the chief priests, elders, and the crowd they persuaded were turning Jesus over to him because of their self-interest. Yet, at the same time, Pilate was looking out for his. But there was someone else in this story who was looking out for Jesus. Matthew described, "While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, 'Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.'" I can only imagine how hard that must have been for Pilate's wife to interrupt her husband with all that was taking place in that moment. However, that nudge or even push she felt in her heart from the replaying of her dream and her mind regarding Jesus was of deeper concern to her than any backlash she may have received from her husband. Pilate may not have listened to her completely, but the text does say he washed his hands in front of the crowd, claiming his innocence of Jesus' blood. Pilate still sent Jesus to the cross. Even though Pilate's wife's plea didn't prevent Jesus' fate, she followed her heart and a message from God through her dream. To address our fear of oppressive systems, we advocate for the oppressed. Oppressive systems are exposed when we highlight those who are impacted the most. We don't have to fight the whole system at once. As much as we need to lift up or speak up for each person we see being shut out, pushed out, shipped out, disregarded, dismissed, devalued, excluded, forgotten. You get the idea. Systems don't fall in a day, so there will always be someone who needs an advocate. Currently, we are advocating for students at Shawnee through our mentorship program and coat distribution. We support the families that St. Paul's of Dayton ministers to on a regular basis. We support the food insecurities of our community by sending food and funds to Fish Food Pantry. And even today, we concluded the Jackson Area Ministry seed collection to encourage and empower folks to have garden fresh produce. And there are other ways that we advocate for others in our community. But my encouragement to us all is, how can we build on what we do to build relationships with those we advocate for to show we are working against the oppressive systems that have built the barriers that they face? Everyone needs a community that shows they are loved. So friends, let's fear a little less when it comes to facing the myriad of oppressive systems that exist in our daily lives. Let's do our best to shine the light of Christ on our church and our community to identify oppressive systems that keep us from engaging with God, with each other, and our community. Then stand firm in God's will and ways as we advocate for the oppressed. That is he. And don't forget to remain vigilant in addressing all the barriers of engagement we have discussed throughout Lent, including the fear of the unknown, the fear of strangers, the fear of being ignorant, and the fear of plopping. By fearing a little less, we can work together to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community through actively engaging with everyone we meet. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, which is number 277 and on the screens.
Jesus is King of the Kingdom of God, which we are all invited to be in. We have to call on His name, trust in His ways, and walk with Him through suffering and through praise. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.